Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we went hunting for, you know, this song.
Well, I think I know this song you're talking about.
Well, hold on. Bud Dickman, who is with our staff, as well as Robert Leonard. Did you guys find the song?
Yeah, we're just loading it up right now.
Yeah, I've got into this big, long discussion. I don't know why, but we're talking about Billy Joel. All of this started when we were talking about a guy with one eye. And, you know,
we were talking about my friend. You're the one that turned it into a discussion of Bachman-Turner Overdrive. Or,
no, you did. You're the one that wanted to sing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet that you rewrote for I Looked at Him with the Big Brown Eye. And then Ted got upset because he had to turn the radio off in the car he was driving with his son.
See, that's what I don't understand.
Think about it. God, three guesses and the first two don't count.
Yeah.
What does that mean, three guesses?
Never mind, Margaret. So, the song, I was saying about Billy Joel, okay, you know, and this may be getting into a territory that is decidedly old guy territory, although for some reason, and I could be wrong, Billy Joel strikes me as an artist that crosses a lot of generational lines. I think there's still even younger fans of his, but he was a big, big hit maker for a long time. And I played his music when I was a disc jockey back in the day on Album Rock Radio. You wouldn't think of Billy Joel as an AOR artist, an album-oriented artist, but he was. Meaning we played him right out of the same box with Led Zeppelin and the Stones and Jimi Hendrix, you know.
I don't understand that. I'd play him on a Frank Sinatra station.
Billy Joel? No, no, you didn't. So, anyway, I was never a big fan, but there were songs of his that I liked. And one of them was this song, The Night the Lights Went Out on Broadway or something. And it turned out you found it, right, Bud?
Yeah, we got it right here.
Okay, this song was actually... This song, it's funny to say this, this song is called Miami 2017. And then it goes into the... Here it is. Is this it, Bud?
Yeah, it's it. This is on the Broadway.
Miami 2017, and it was a song that Billy Joel...
He's on his way home from Candletop. Been 2 weeks gone.
What the hell is this?
He thought he'd stop at Webb.
Yeah, this is Billy Joel, isn't it?
Before he went home to her.
This is that freaking night... Get out of here with this.
No, this is it. I swear to God. Let it... Listen to it.
That's not Billy Joel.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was younger.
When he was younger.
Yes.
Said, I'm your best friend, and you know that's
you're telling me that's a man's voice.
Phil, would you relax? That's this. You haven't heard the song in a long time.
Amos Boy Seth. What the?
He got mad and he saw
this is not Billy Joel, okay?
Yeah, it is.
That's Vicki Lawrence, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia.
Well, I only looked at what the part that said the...
I looked at the part that said the lights went out. How many songs have been called about lights going out?
There's a lot of them. There's
go ahead, Mumbles.
Hey, how about Boom Boom Out Go the Lights? Pat Travers, yeah.
Okay, big deal. You thought of one. Name another one.
Well, there's three of them right there. The lights went out in Georgia, the lights went out on Broadway, and Boom Boom Out Go the Lights, which is going to happen to you if I don't hear that song right now. See, it ain't there.
No, I got it, I got it. I swear to God, I got it. Please don't.
I don't even need to hear the song now, man, okay? I've had it with the song. I've had it with listening to this because one of the things that I wanted to hear was the... here it is. This is it. This was the live version of The Night the Lights Went Out. Miami 2017. Huh?
Oh, that is obnoxious.
What is?
Oh, all of that Moog synthesizers. All of those keyboard players from the 70s and 80s thought they were just so wonderful with that...
I think it sounds kind of cool, like it's a spaceship.
What is that, man? That sounds like Parliament Funkadelic.
Gay.
This is Billy Joel. This is the Miami 2017. You know, the lights went out. Yeah. I've seen the lights go out on Broadway. That was it.
Oh, I've seen the lights go out on...
That's what I was singing. They say the neon lights is bright.
No, that's not... That's a different song, man. Just because it has Broadway in the title. Hold on.
I seen the lights go out on Broadway.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh? Saw the Empire State laid low.
Oh, this one. Yes.
I like this song, man.
Life went on beyond the palisade.
What's this about?
It's about the lights.
But going out in Georgia?
Not the lights going out in Georgia. He saw the lights go down on Broadway just because the song.
Yeah, the concert out in Brooklyn.
There it is. I tell you what we'll do. I will close the show with it. How about that? Because we have to talk, man. This is spoken word entertainment, all right? We got to talk, baby.
I don't care, man. That song's okay. It ain't the best song I ever heard, but the lights go out.
What's the best lights go out song?
Nah, he don't even know what he's talking about.
Why are you talking to him?
I'm talking because he's here, bud. What's the best lights go out song?
What, you talking? You think I'm stupid?
No, I think you're stupid when it comes to this topic, yeah. Hey, bud, why don't you find me Miami 2017? I've seen the lights go out on Broadway, and he brings me Vicki Lawrence.
There's the lights went out.
You better believe the lights went out. Any others?
There's a song about Splish Splash, I was taking a bath. But I don't know if the lights went out.
Splish Splash, I was taking a bath. Okay, thanks a lot, bud. Only on this show, man, I can ask a simple question like, you know, I could simply say something along the lines of, hey, who's playing this weekend in the NFL? And I got Margaret telling me about a one-eyed guy, and it's nuts.
Well, you were talking about a prosthetic eye on your friend, which you failed to talk about.
I'm talking about my friend in Miami. This is a poor chap that I know who was acting irresponsibly one night back in our younger days. I wasn't there. I had no idea. He told me about it. Something blew up.
Well, I'll tell you, that's irresponsible, all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can say we were acting very irresponsibly that night. One thing led to another, and something blew up. You know?
Yes, and he lost his eye.
He did. He lost his eye. He lost one of his eyes. He said this bottle blew up, and he walked over to the mirror just to see what exactly. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but he walked over to the mirror just to see what kind of damage was done to his face. And there was a shard of glass sticking out of his right eye, and that was the end of his eye, you know. And so he went to the doctor, which I guess is...
Yeah, that would be indicated.
Yeah, that's what you'd want to do. Okay, I better go to the doctor now because I have the... And in any event, he wore a patch over that eye. Now, I don't believe that he had a prosthetic eye because I don't think you were... I think the eye was too badly damaged. And I also think that in those days, it was the late 1970s, maybe they had not come up with the prosthetic eyes that were good enough, you know?
Yeah, they got ones now. Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, now they have prosthetic eyes, I think, that will actually turn with the musculature, as the eyes, back in the old days, you put a glass eye in, and that's exactly what it looked like. You had one eyeball that was swinging around looking at all kinds of stuff, and this other one was like just staring at you.
Yeah, it was very disquieting. Frank had an army buddy who had lost an eye in the army or in the wartime or something. And he had the one eyeball that just stared straight ahead. And I remember feeling uncomfortable. And I went back and got changed. I was in a very low-cut gown. All right. Are you following?
Yeah, I'm following.
Sort of.
Well, what don't you get?
Just finish the story.
Anyway, I was in a very low-cut gown. We were having dinner. And I said to Frank, I don't know what's up with him, but that eyeball is... And Frank said, well, it's very low cut. So I went and I changed into a very high neck sweater. I think I even put on an overcoat. And I even put on some mittens just to cover up. And still the eyeball stared. So I said to a girlfriend of mine, I said, I really have to have breast reduction. And she said, why? Because this guy couldn't stop, or at least part of him couldn't stop staring at me.
Well, when did you figure out it was the eyeball?
Well, when did I figure out it was the eyeball? I think what you're missing here... Oh, so you're saying it was the glass eye?
Yes, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Obviously, that's what it was with you.
You said one eyeball.
Well, no, I said at least part of him couldn't take his eye off of me.
Well, Margaret, now you know, okay?
No, I knew it. I knew later, subsequent, but all right.
You know, it's not to say you're not an attractive woman. I'm not saying that. And did you actually get breast reduction?
I did.
Well, you got your breasts reduced for no reason.
Excuse me?
All right, you got them reduced for a good reason, but that being the trigger of a guy's one...
Phil, I really want to leave tonight. If all you're going to do is laugh...
Look, if I'm entitled to laugh because I've had more people on the show tonight. You're telling me that you're sitting there and there's a guy's eye staring at your breasts. So you go and get changed. You put on a new dress. You cover up. You come back. You sit down. The guy's eye is still staring at your breasts. And you're thinking, wow, at least part of this guy.
Yes.
Well, what? Who? Where? How does one eye keep staring at...
Get my husband on the phone, please.
You're not leaving, Margaret, or I'm firing you. You know the deal. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police coming up next. Looking ahead here to the week, and we'll talk with Jay briefly about what the challenges were during this terrible, terrible superstorm Sandy. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. You know, we have a couple of things that are happening in the life and times of the Phil Henry Show. There's been a lot of evolution of this show over the last several years. We are about to take we're about to take the brand, if you want to call it. That's what everybody uses this word now, brand. You know, there's a show, there's the Phil Henry Show, there's the Phil Henry website. Well, it's the brand. We're about to take it out on the road. We're about to go live. And by live, I don't mean a live broadcast. I mean a live appearance or a series of appearances. Now, I'm not going to announce any dates now, but I want you to know that we have a one-man show scheduled tentatively now for February, the spring of 2013, and or I should say late winter. And to that end, we have been rehearsing and plotting and planning and doing all of that. You can get updates on all of that and more at our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can also get news on our daily podcasts. We have a episode 62, which features Mr. Eric Hester, a TV producer, talking about a new idea. He has a show called Surprise. And just to give you a taste of what that's about, well, you know what? Listen to the podcast, because I'm not...
Well, you're not very proud of it, are you?
I'm not the guy that did the show. He did. So check that out, as well as our daily podcast of this here show. We also have our archives, close to 5,000 hours of original radio going back over a decade. We have our news feed. We have a video cast. And by the way, we are now Apple compatible for on-demand video at the Phil Henry Show website. So with your iPhone or your iPad, you can access our video cast on demand. And it is not live streaming, but it is anything in the video catalog that we have, and we are going to begin to expand that video library quite a bit, and you'll be able to see it. So it's all there at philhenryshow.com. Now, the big news, other than Sandy, was this, believe it or not. If Disney is buying Lucasfilm, how will that affect Star Wars Episode 7 and other Star Wars projects? Any word on what that movie will be about? Well, this is a Lucasfilm source that was interviewed. We know that whatever the plot of Episode 7, George Lucas won't have a heavy hand in the day-to-day creation of it. He's apparently written the treatments for the films, but he won't produce or direct. An excellent opportunity for another visionary to jettison Jar Jar Binks out of an airlock permanently. So that is an idea as to how well Episode 6 went. But the point being, there is a Episode 7 scheduled. Lucasfilm has been sold to Disney. And
what? Who cares?
Well, I mean, it's just information, you know.
Yeah, but who cares? So what? I mean, if Lucas is not going to direct it,
well, this gives an opportunity for another auteur, you know.
Whatever that is.
Another creative type behind the camera.
Well, you know, I think that I don't think I. Who cares? You know, I mean. It's not like Gene Roddenberry. It's not like Gene Roddenberry directed all of the Star Treks. Gene Roddenberry created and he gave life to the original ideas behind Star Trek. You know, the ship and the crew and sort of what they were going to do. But different people directed. It was episodic. It was television. But with Star Wars, it's got Lucas all over it, man. I mean, it's to the point where it's they were directed by him, and I'm sure he had a big hand even in casting. So it's very strange to me to imagine Star Wars, and I'm not even a big Star Wars fan, you know.
Well, then you don't know what's really best for it, do you?
If I'm not a Star Wars fan, I don't know what's best for it. Maybe not, but I'll tell you this. I've got an opinion about it, all right? I was there when the first one, I saw, you know, give me credit, man. I saw the first Star Wars when it came out in the theaters, sat there and watched Star Wars in a movie theater setting as those damn, you know, what were these, the little jets, man, whatever they called those things.
Those were the Star Wars.
Yeah, they're the Star Wars jets.
Whatever, I don't know. But those cats were going down to the little caverns there on the Death Star, and that was like state-of-the-art special effects. State-of-the-art special effects for that time. And to see that on the big screen was nuts. I don't know. So anyway, as for the plot, Star Wars superfans have a theory on what they'll be seeing next. But I have a surprise for them. They're wrong. If you're a fan, you're definitely going to want to read on. Who is writing this? I don't know if this is... The Wing Fighters? Okay, thanks, Dan. X-Wing Fighters. This is being written by some Lucasfilm source that has been given a mysterious little byline. First of all, you should know that there is an official canon concerning the Star Wars universe. Those stories cover the years after the Rebel victory, after Return of the Jedi. It's written in a series of books called The Thrawn Trilogy by author Timothy Zahn. Die-hard Star Wars fans know the trilogy well, and they say that a big-screen adaptation of the first book, Heir to the Empire, would make the most logical Episode 7. Of all the speculation out there about the content of this new trilogy, that's the single most concrete idea, says Eric Geller of the fan site The Force Net. It's Eric, who is unemployed, does nothing but sit around all day and keep his website up. I'm just kidding. It's almost inevitable that the story will take place in the same time frame as those books. So what happens in those books? Well, Luke Skywalker meets a real would-be assassin lady named Mara Jade, who was trained to avenge the Emperor by... get out of here.
It's already boring.
It is. It's already Dullsville. However, I guess if you're really a super fan...
Well, they're people, Phil. What about Harry Potter?
Harry Potter is a Harry Potter's different. Harry Potter, it was a very contemporary phenomenon. Harry Potter and all the stuff that happened about Harry happened right when the book came out, and then the movie was made in a fairly short time frame. Star Wars goes back to the 70s. I wonder if people are going to get burned out. I predict Star Wars burnout.
You're going to say that people aren't going to want to go see it? Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of people still want to see it.
I think you're wrong. I think there's going to be Star Wars burnout. Although, you know, you never know, but just because they do all their research and they do all of their focus groups, I can tell you right now, Bob, we've got a movie coming up that's got to be Star Wars, you know.
Well, Phil, these studios make a lot of money because they know what they're doing.
They also have some stinkers, man. May I just, two words for you, John Carter?
Oh, well, you know what? John Carter's going to make money. Don't worry, it'll make money.
All right, fine. It'll make money, but they fired a guy behind it. It'll make money, but the guy that green-lit it got his ass thrown in the street. It'll make money, but, you know, people, all kinds of people lost jobs. Yeah, okay. If it's going to make money and don't sweat it, then we all make mistakes. Why didn't that guy still have his job? So in any event, this I just thought I'd say it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm right, then I'll look like a genius. Star Wars burnout, big time. People are sick of it. Thank you. All right, coming up on the Phil Henry Show, we still have to talk to Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about the situation, you know, mostly yesterday, but even throughout all of the problems that were felt and heard during the storm. And also Jay's going to give us an update on some other security questions in and around town here with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. As a matter of fact, if you've got him online right now, hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm real good, Phil. Thanks for having us on the program. Enjoying always your program right now.
So we do want to talk a little bit about the challenges that face you guys when you're with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're not an official police agency.
We are a enterprise, Phil. We are entrepreneurial police agency, and that's the term that we're using now because we think it makes more sense as an entrepreneurial police agency. We look over the shoulder of the regular state municipal kind of police, and so
you're an entrepreneurial. Do you make money?
No, we don't make money unless people. We do have donations, but we don't even take donations because We had donations briefly, but we decided not to do donations because it made us look sort of like, in a way, panhandlers or a lot of the people who have very unusual diseases, you know, that'll sit outside of a church, you know, if they have a leg that's bent backward or something like that. So we decided that we would not do that. On the other hand, we will be, if you want to pay me.
Okay, hold on, okay?
What's that?
Hold on, okay?
I can't hear you.
All right, put him on hold. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We were talking about the superstorm Sandy.
And Phil, if I could, I want to also weigh in on the Lucasfilm because it has some kind of, it does have potential for a security situation for us as well because of the lines and the popularity of this kind of movie, you know. And also, you know, I have to be honest with you, as a young person back in the 70s, I did enjoy going to see the Star Wars. Now, George Lucas...
So you want to segue to that?
Well, if I could for just a moment.
Go ahead.
George Lucas has made a lot of money. I dare say he's made enough money to keep himself and generations of his children and offspring and so on and so forth wealthy, going all the way down a line. I don't know, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, however far down you want to go. I don't doubt that George Lucas will have a legacy not unlike, for instance, the Astors or the, like a Vanderbilt or, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in that family, no question.
Right.
They just sold, by the way, Disney just bought Lucasfilm for $4
billion. Right there, $4 billion. $4 billion. That's a lot of money, and that's George Lucas. All right. Okay, so he's done that. So why then is George Lucas boxing up all these movies, doing all these books? Why is he still, even though he's a billionaire now, why is he still trying to milk this for all it's worth? Because in my opinion, and I agree with you, there's going to be a backlash. You know, likes the way you're never going to believe in.
Mr. Santos, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your experience in the film business? Because the reason why I ask, what do you mean there'll be a backlash?
I think that I agree with Mr. Henry.
Yes, but you're not a movie mogul. You're a security...
Ma'am, my job is to see where there's a security threat. And the fact that Lucas is going to ask people to spend more money yet again on another Star Wars movie is that, I think that's going to make some, can I use just the slang, Phil?
Go ahead.
That's going to piss some people off, okay? That's going to piss some people off. And
who is it going to make angry? I don't understand.
Well, I think if George Lucas is coming up to you and saying, give me more money on a Star Wars, you know, my reaction would be, and I think a lot of people, are you kidding? How much of my money do you need? You know, I've spent more money and more money. My own son, this is two generations of Star Wars fan. There was me, and then now there's my son, Brad. And both of us are Star Wars geeks. We buy the hooded, I bought a whole Darth Vader costume. My son's got a Darth Vader suit. We even put on a Mickey Mouse suit with a big giant Darth Vader head. And
it sounds pretty good. What's it look like?
Well, no, it isn't pretty good. It's the most asinine thing you ever saw, but that's what they're selling right now.
What is it?
It's a Darth Vader head the size of Mickey Mouse's head. So what it is it's Mickey Mouse is Darth Vader.
I don't know. Is that...
No, that's not the plot. That's a merchandise thing.
Yeah, it's merchandise.
Oh.
Right. So, and we went out and bought it. So now there's a big, gigantic Darth Vader hat. And my son said, Dad, how am I going to wear this? And I go, I don't know. I said, they got us again. Lucas got me again. So there's a lot of anger out there about Lucas sticking his hand out and saying, "Hi, I'm George Lucas," and you go, you reach to shake it, and he goes, "No, no," and he just keeps the, and then he turns the palm up. And
boy, that's an elaborate description.
Well, that's what's happening, Phil.
Well, I think you're wrong.
No, I sort of agree. George Lucas, too many times to the well.
So George Lucas needs to just back off, huh?
Oh, yeah, but he's not going to back off. He's going to come out with another Mickey Mouse, or not a Mickey Mouse, he's going to come out with a Star Wars movie, and it's going to be, and I think I agree with you, Phil, it's going to be burnout, and I think there's going to be backlash, you know?
What?
Backlash.
Backlash on the film. All right, we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I want to get on Frank Gray. Oh, not Frank, Harvey. Is he with us?
Yeah.
Harvey Wireman. Mr. Wireman has worked all kinds of, all sides of the street in the entertainment business, as well as being a criminal defense attorney. Harvey, I know you're not really an entertainment lawyer, but you've worked in that field. You've known entertainers, actors. You've represented, you know, a lot of them.
I was going to ask Mr. Wireman, have you ever represented an actor in a murder case?
Yes. Mr. Yeah, Mr. Santos, to answer your question, yes, I have. I represented Guy Belmondo, and they...
I've never heard of him.
No one's ever heard of... No one's ever heard of Guy Belmondo because he went to prison. But he had shot up a cafe out here in West Hollywood back in the 80s and took a hostage, and the police finally... closed in on him the next day. He went off to prison. I think he's in prison still, but a very elderly man.
What's the guy's name?
Who's there?
It's Phil Hendry.
Oh, hey, Phil.
Yeah, what is his name?
It's Guy Belmondo, or Guy Belmondo, or Guy Del Greco.
I think I've heard about Guy Del Greco.
Well, you wouldn't have heard of either one, because neither guy, not that there's two, there's only one guy, but it's either Belmondo or Del Greco, and I think it was Guy, or it could have been Gary.
Well, what was...
Oh, don't get in a tiff, Phil.
Phil, I think I know. It was Guy Bel Greco,
Guy Bel Greco, Guy Belmondo, or Guy Del Greco. But either one of them got thrown into prison for taking a hostage and shooting a cafe up.
Did he kill anyone?
No, he did not. That's why I was able to save him from the death house. Although in California, it doesn't make any difference.
That's very interesting. I was asking, have you ever, or Phil asked you about actors, because that kind of blends the two together.
Yeah, you know, I have a hard time understanding you, Jay, and I don't mean any offense, but your very thick Pennsylvania accent, it sounds like you have, like you're... How do I put this?
Never mind. It just, you know, turn your hearing aid up.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I'll try and talk clearer.
Yeah, that'd be great because, I don't want to say.
Okay. Harvey Wireman joining us. All right, the question here, Harvey, the Lucasfilm purchase of the, Disney's purchase of Lucasfilm.
Well, I think the Disney purchased, I think Disney purchased Lucasfilm. As a way of hedging their bets when it comes to this space creature in way outer, you know, the way space, way out of, just way the hell off the planet Earth. Anything that has to do with outer space, you have to go down the Lucasfilm road. Disney is a great fantasy and family-oriented entertainment business. But
why are you doing that?
Hold on for a minute.
What's that?
Jay was commenting on you clearing your throat.
Clearing your throat, sir?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm doing. Did I finish?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, Disney has been a fantasy franchise. They have the family franchise, and they have all the Mickey Mouse, and they do all of the Peter Pan, and you name it. And I heard Phil talking earlier about a Peter Pan costume. Well, if you don't like Peter Pan costumes, Phil, you don't want to work for Disney, because everywhere you turn... There's somebody, with a Peter Pan outfit.
And, what do you mean by that?
They affect what they think is going to make what's going to look good. I don't know. So anyway, Lucasfilm, in my opinion, is not going to be worth a pinch of you-know-what, because just as you gentlemen have been discussing, Lucasfilm isn't going to be Nobody wants to see another Star Wars movie. They don't want to see it. And for you, Mr. Santos, to go out and buy a gigantic Darth Vader helmet, well, you know, that didn't make any sense.
It makes sense if you fit Mickey Mouse's head.
Well, what kind of sense does that make to put a Darth Vader helmet on Mickey Mouse?
Well, it's Disney buying it.
Buying what?
Buying the... Disney buying Lucasfilm.
No, I know that. Disney bought Darth Vader and all, but now they want to try to cross-promote with... Not gonna...
Well, they sold a helmet to Jay.
Okay, well, you know, that's Jay. But I see it as a disaster.
All right, we're talking with Harvey Wireman here from San Marino, California tonight, discussing the Lucasfilm purchase the Disney purchase of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, it's the other way around. There's no way Lucas is going to be able to buy. That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's not going to happen. The day that George Lucas has enough money to buy, he's coming damn close to it. He's coming damn close to it. But I think, Phil, the big problem there is Lucas coming around and saying, "Hi, I'm George Lucas. Give me more money." I think people are going to have a very, very, very bad reaction to that. I think people are going to say, "You know what? I've had it with you. Turn around," and they'll just lay their boot right up as you know what. I would.
You would react in a hostile way.
I would put my boot right up as you know what. But think of this guy. At how much is enough? How much money do you need? And this guy wants to come to my house and say, "Hey, how about kicking in one more?" No way.
All right. Harvey Wireman, Jay Santos, and Disney buying Lucasfilm. Are we going to get to talking about this hurricane?
Yeah, Phil, I'd rather not. I don't know enough about it. I want to talk more about this. More fun. Yeah.
All right. More fun. This guy is the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Our online at philhenryshow.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/philhenryfans, PHANS. Facebook.com/ Phil Henry fans. And Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley and even Harvey. No, Harvey doesn't have a Twitter account.
Doesn't know how to use it.
All right, we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Why would I want to have a Twitter account? I don't care.
I got a Twitter account.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
They told me about that, but I can tell you right now, there's never been a better time, I think, to do invest.
You talk about buying gold.
Yeah.
All right, we're back here, guys. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman and Jay Santos. Jay, just a quick comment on the storm situation over the last few days. Did you hear of any problems? Did you hear of anybody getting out of hand? Did you hear of
I don't think so, Phil. We mostly people were just, you know, hunkered down and trying to, get through it. I didn't hear of anybody. You go out into a storm like that and you think you're going to go and loot a store or something? Well, I love to see that. That's not going to happen. You're going to see a lot of looters getting flung far and wide.
That would be that'd be one for the books, you know. And a lot of these people, you know, that they don't care about another human being at all. They don't give a damn what happens to people, and they go out and they loot a store. And I think that a storm like this is the best possible thing that could happen to somebody like that, because the minute they hit the street with their television set or their pair of running shoes, you know, go and get the
What is wrong with you, anyway?
Well, who is talking now?
But it's Jay Santos. He's clearing his throat.
I'm clearing my throat.
I know. Every now and again, you're all, "Yee-haw."
Well, sir, I'd rather have that for a problem than be talking like I've got a quart of blank in my mouth.
Oh, boy. You know, if you were standing right in front of me, old man or not old man, I'd have to clock you.
You know something, Mr. Santos? Old man, I may be. You don't scare me.
Okay, gentlemen, is this how we're going to end up?
Yes, this is how. No,
No, we're not going to end up this way. He is. He's going to end up this way. He's going to wind up in the street.
All I said was, we talk about, what is that?
The hell is that?
Something I'd rather hear, to be honest with you.
Is this the light? Is this that song, the light went out in your my eyes? Or?
Yeah, there, it's the night the light went out.
The night the light. Get out of here.
Wait a second, you're treating me.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Seen the lights go out on Broadway. I saw the Empire State lay low. Life went on beyond the Palisades. They all bought Cadillacs and left there long ago. We held a concert out in Brooklyn to watch the island bridges blow. They turned our power down and drove us underground, but we went right on with the show. Oh, oh, oh. I see the lights go out. Took over Mexico. There are not many who remember. They say a handful still survive.
Billy Joel song I like. you know.
Yeah, you don't like his music.
I didn't say I didn't like his music. I love his music, and some of his music I just, you know.
But not that one song about a fire didn't start a fire.
I love that, the night that they started the fire.
The night they started, you guys with this, the night this and the night that, okay?
Well.
It ain't the night anything, okay? It's called We Didn't Start the Fire. I'm not really nuts about that song. And also the thing about Billy Joel is, you know, he's got some hardcore, really serious fans, and you don't want to be disrespectful, you know, I'm serious, man. It's ain't the Beatles, and it ain't Elvis, and it's not, you know, Kurt Cobain. It's Billy Joel, but hey. The dude's got his fans, and they love him, and I respect that. And you know what? He's got some songs I really, really love. So that's about as good as it gets from Phil Hendry. Just call me uneducated. Call me,
Just don't call me late for dinner.
That's not funny.
Shut your hole. Shut your filthy sewer.
All right. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And like that, baby. We'll see you again tonight. Don't forget to go online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy all of the many things that we have for yous at philhendryshow.com. Till tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.